The views and opinions expressed by individuals on the following program do not necessarily reflect those of the network, Guys Guy Radio, and its platforms. It's Guys Guy Radio. Here's your host, Robert Manny.
Welcome to Guys Guys Radio. This is your host, Robert Manny, welcoming you to the show where men and women can be at their best and everyone wins. Guys, Guys Radio. We're here to inform you, inspire you, empower you, and get you to think, feel, and who knows, maybe even act by virtue of the journeys, stories, experiences, and insights of the guests I bring you each and every week to the show. Once again, this week is no exception. Today, we're going to talk about remote viewing. We're going to talk about 3i Atlas. We're going to talk about disclosure and a lot more right here on Guys, Guys Radio with our return guest, remote viewer Sebastian Martin. We had Sebastian on twice last year, once in the late spring and then in the fall. And off camera, he started telling me about 3i Atlas and what this is really all about, because he claims that he was contracted by one of the Alphabet agencies to remote view 3i Atlas. And as we got into November, 3i Atlas was very noticeable out in space by the experts, and there was a lot of talk about, what is this thing? Is it a comet? It's not behaving like a comet. Where is it going? And what else could it be? Now, Avi Loeb, a well-known astrophysicist, said maybe it's not a comet, and a couple other remote viewers said, doesn't look like a comet to me. And Sebastian's one of them, and he claims he went in and saw inside 3i Atlas, and what it was not a comet whatsoever. That it was a Draco ship filled with reptilian soldiers in stasis heading towards Earth, and it was going to do something when it got at the closest point, release some probes, it ended up shooting something at the sun, creating some solar flares, and there was a lot of doom and gloom discussed as to what could possibly happen. And as we all know, 3i Atlas was apparently came close to the Earth, was disabled, quote unquote, we'll get into that, and now it's kind of scooted off and it's not an issue in the news cycle anymore. Well, what is it? What was it? Where is it? We're going to get into all of that with Sebastian Martin here on Guys Guys Radio.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Sarah wasn't bad at her job, she was stuck in hidden grief. After her dog died, she took a sales role just to stay busy, but every pitch felt empty. A Cogna Movement session uncovered that she was seeking the warmth of her dog rather than serving her clients. Using our patented movements and sensory patterns, she cleared the grief and rocketed to the top. What hidden emotion is holding you back? Try our Essentials program at the special UK Health Radio rate. Visit cognamovement.com/radio or click on the Cogna Movement banner on the UK Health Radio homepage. Results vary.
What if your healing journey could feel empowering, hopeful, even transformative? Welcome to the Alkaline Collective Mastermind, a community for anyone facing cancer, staying cancer-free, or committed to prevention. No matter your stage, whether you've chosen conventional care, an integrative path, or a fully holistic approach, here, you're not alone. Here, your healing journey becomes a journey of empowerment. We explore the science of oxygenation, metabolism, and alkalinity, while strengthening your emotional, spiritual, and physical well-being. This is a mastermind with heart, accountability, connection, wisdom, and real support. Because your journey isn't just about surviving. It's about thriving. Join us by clicking on the Alkaline Collective Mastermind banner on the UK Health Radio homepage or directly at alkaline-collective.com, where self-belief grows, healing deepens, and transformation begins.
The station that makes you feel good.
Okay, guys, radio, it is the interview portion of the show, and I am delighted to bring back the serial entrepreneur, Manuka Honey Maven, remote viewer worldwide, and somebody who works with the Alphabet agencies and came to a lot of notoriety when 3i Atlas was kind of streaming through our atmosphere here on Earth. And I want to welcome back the amazing one, Sebastian Martin. And before I just introduce you, Sebastian, I want to say that I attended the Telenovelas seminars a couple of months ago, and it was absolutely transformative. I've made friends who are now kind of family at those events, the workshops. We learned so much, and it was a great experience. We're going to get into that towards the end of the show, but I want to just say thank you for that. Thank you for the new friends and family that I have. And we meet every week online, and just to review things we're learning and moving things along, et cetera. So welcome back to the show, Sebastian Martin.
Well, thank you so much, Robert, for having me again on your show. And thank you for the great comments. I'm always excited to share what I know with people. And, it's always, increasing. It's always moving forward. And so it's always been very positive. So I feel pretty excited to discover more and to share more down the line. So there will be more coming.
Okay, great. And I hope more coming on the show. And to start with, just to give some folks who may not be familiar with you, your background, you're a business, very successful entrepreneur. You had a very famous Weberspoon, a Manuka Honey Company. Earlier, I think in 2025, you said, I'm going to move on to doing Telenovelas and other things full time. Mm-hmm. What got you into your organic remote viewer? Kind of, if you could encapsulize what led to the change last year, and then we'll get into all the things that happened in the latter part of 2025.
Okay, so what led me to become a remote viewer? I guess I was doing remote viewing all my life without knowing what it was. And when I got followed by the Alphabet agencies, like you said, just because I became a person of interest for, focusing on political events that occurred that were known, but the details of those events were not known to the public. And so that's why they were wondering where I got my information from. And that's basically from my own visions, my own insights, and which obviously was unknown to them. They didn't know where I came from. So that's why they followed me. And they decided to dig deeper into my life, to see what, who that person was, who he was in contact with. And unbeknownst to me, when I decided to, do radio shows and so on, then I had more friends on Facebook. And therefore, at the time, I had like 10,000 people on Facebook when they had 10,000 people at the time instead of five. And they basically followed me randomly throughout my social platforms without me knowing, obviously. And automatically, I just realized that one of them was a CIA officer on my Facebook page. Mm-hmm. And so I decided to contact her directly on Messenger, which was kind of an open space, and I didn't have other ways to contact her. And because I had a vision of her in danger. So I basically warned her at the time, and she was in Iraq, and I said, you need to leave the country. And so 4 weeks, 3 or 4 weeks later, she sent me a message with a picture of the man that I was describing for being the danger source. And I said, yes, that's exactly him. I recognized the man exactly. He had different clothes, obviously, and that's how it all started for me. Because what I was seeing were like mini movies. Like I wasn't seeing like, fixed pictures. I was seeing mini movies all the time. And so, which is very unlike the regular, remote viewing or the control remote viewing, like the CRV that has been established and used by the Stargate program, for example. But what I discovered was over time, that while I was actually working for different agencies for helping out, at first it was just to help out. And because they were testing me, and then I got involved into missions, and then without them wanting it, I was actually receiving information that were relating to the people that I talked to, because somehow I established a connection with them, and I could not just get rid of them off my mind. So they there was a, somehow a genuine connection that I can't describe. And why it happened, I don't know. It just happened at the time. And so I was seeing those events that were automatically involving me in new missions. And so they could not shut me out.
Wow.
So at first, you know, I wasn't privy to anything. I didn't have any secret clearances. I had nothing signed. And I was just providing information. And so I became invaluable because at some point in time, I saved people's lives. And so that's how they were able to see me as an asset to help them in their missions overall. And you know, everything is different. Every mission is different. So when you deal with like a reconnaissance mission and you have to hire like a team of people from different countries, sometimes using mercenaries, and that's exactly what the CIA does sometimes. So without taking responsibility for themselves, they will hire people from other countries to do some missions. So they don't have to be privy to the deep, you know, basically understanding or meaning of the mission, but they would do their tasks because that's what they've been paid for. And I pretty much was the same. I was enrolled in two things without knowing the details of each mission. And I was just focused on one single target, and that was my mission. It was so compartmentalized that because I was able to connect from one person to another, like a network, I was able to grasp the meaning and the entire meaning of the mission, which, again, was not something that could prevent me to do because I was directly connected to it and connected to the people that I was working with. So this is why, you know, it became way more defined as time went by, and why it became so invaluable is because not only I had the connections to the people, but also I had a much clearer understanding of the geopolitical scenarios and how they could interact with one another. And this is how, you know, I got involved in so many missions down the line.
Now, do you work with other remote viewers, or do they have those compartmentalized also?
I've worked with other remote viewers. They won't tell me. Like, I only learned that by accident. So basically, I connected to other remote viewers who were like me. So basically, just civilians like me who were hired in the same way because they had some insights of their own. And without knowing me, without knowing what I was doing, they were basically contacting me on Facebook as well because they saw a common interest. And so as we talked, we just realized one of them was actually a lawyer from England. And this is exactly how weird the whole thing is. When you have people that are very stable, very smart, and they hire them for their ability because they are recognized to be talented to do this kind of work, they would train them to aim in that direction, but they won't help you connect to other people like you. They won't. That's not their job. Their job is to stick to the mission, stick to the job, and whatever else happens is just a random thing. So I did connect to this lawyer at some point, and we were involved in the same mission to do the Stargate in Iraq. And he is the one who got attacked at the same time as me, for example, in my network. So as we're all involved in the same remote viewing session, they were trying to validate the information through other people's experiences too, to make sure that, you know, they could correlate the information. And I didn't know that at the time. I had no clue. I thought that I was the only one dealing with this. But obviously, they had to diversify and making sure that whatever I was saying could have been corroborated by other people, but also, you know, down the line, verified so they would spend the resources to do it and verify the information. That was interesting. What I've discovered is as remote viewers, and especially when I got involved with the Drake reptilians, I got attacked psionically by a Drake reptilian, and the people in my network also got attacked. So I only knew of one person who got attacked at the same time as me, but then I also got the validation that other people in my network that I didn't know were also attacked at the same time. And so all of these attacks stopped when basically I use the white light source of energy to target the direct reptilian without knowing. Like, I was not in control of it. It's kind of an instinct where I was able to defend myself. Well, at the time, I didn't know how. I just knew how to heal myself. I just didn't know how to protect myself, which is why the attack started to begin with. So now, as we stand, I no longer get attacked. And even if there is an attack, I have enough protection and tools to know how to protect myself. You discovered those at the Chernobyl Center when you were there. Like, you can still use benevolent white light source of energy to create your tools. You can use, basically like a field of protection around you. And you can also manifest actually words that would be repelling to the direct reptilians. And it sounds basic and simple, but it does work a lot. And because at the end of the day, those beings are not, they are pretty much like the demonic beings that we can perceive from the Bible and these sort of things. The different interpretations of those beings have been seen throughout history because they've been around for a long time. How they've been perceived and written about, it depends on people's testimonies. But like you see, like during the secret societies, for example, the being Baphomet is a direct reptilian that's been perceived as a god pretty much for these people. But it's all designed by the Lush and by the negative energy and the negative messaging that has been created to empower people in society, to make them gain power over people and controlling people so they could benefit from certain aspects of society. So like, for example, wealth, longevity, all of these things have been promises that the direct reptilians gave them. But at the end of the day, when 3i Atlas came around, and I know that you want to talk about this topic, when 3i Atlas showed up, there were direct reptilians on board, and the people in secret societies were fully aware of that for a long time. So they were already told what was going to happen. And so they had the promises and the hope that they would be able to anchor their wealth and basically have a much better control over the population. And so, unfortunately, with the 3i Atlas...
Okay. Let me interrupt you, Sebastian, we've covered a lot of ground, and I think, first of all, why did you and the other, quickly, why did you and the other remote viewers get attacked by the Dracos?
Oh, because we were tasked to observe a Stargate that was taken out from Iraq. And the Stargate was out of the hands of the SSP at the time. The SSP in Iraq...
It's the secret space program for those.
Yeah, the secret space program had... scientists in Iraq that were completely independent from Saddam Hussein at the time. Saddam Hussein was aware of them, but he also knew and he was told that he had no control over the SSP. And for a dictator like him to know that there were powers at play that were stronger and more powerful than him was very unsettling for him, but he came to accept it. And the idea that he had an actual entry gate from his summer palace to go down to the Anunnaki Stargate that was in caves underground that were there for a long, long time, he sealed the door at the end. But he wanted to make sure that no one else would go there. So he built his summer palace right on site where he had the access to the Stargate. But the Stargate during the Gulf Wars was removed from the underground structures along with some other artifacts. But the SSP, knowing the instability of the country and knowing that the Americans would try to get in, you have to realize that this is not... a one country operation. The SSP is international and they do not respond to governments. They basically respond to the Galactic Federation, which is a group of ETs that are on Earth who are basically signed treaties with various organizations around the globe. And they also established relationships with some governments to let them know that they exist. So they leave them alone. And that's basically the deal. The deal is the SSP is not in charge. The human beings are not in charge. It's the ETs who are in charge. And that's the peaceful relationship that they've established so they can literally help them with reverse engineering for down crafts and technologies that they find, because otherwise they will not be able to decipher the information. They will not be able to extract information to know how to use it. So this is all to do with awareness about consciousness, to do with evolutionary processes on Earth from humankind. All of these beings are here for a reason. You know, this is not to do with control, or this is not to do with anything else than helping humanity moving forward. So at the end of the day, we have that understanding that the Americans, for example, have been involved in a lot of operations to do with the SSP because they have the personnel, they have the infrastructures to help grow the Galactic Federation. So that's the reason why, like, in globally, we hear more of the SSP in America. But at the end of the day, it is a global organization.
Okay.
And yeah, so that's why it has been around.
All right, so we have a situation where you guys kind of got caught peeking at the Stargate, and a Draco looked at you and then decided to psionically attack you guys.
Yes.
Okay, so we were kind of, before I interrupted you, you were getting into 3i Atlas. So let's set the stage for 3i Atlas, and because I think your prominence as a remote viewer and as an expert in this area was elevated by when 3i Atlas was close by. So what happened was there was this people thought it was a comet, and you said no, you remote viewed it. And Avi Loeb had some, who is a quantum physicist, said maybe this is not a comet. And there's some other folks who remote viewed it and said probably not a comet. And then there's a lot of people said this is a really good thing that's coming, and you said no, there's 5 million reptilian soldiers on this. I think it's AI powered, and it's coming here because to create a chaotic experience where they'll be able to attack the Earth and retake the Earth. As part of that, probes, you mentioned that probes were being sent out and they were going to be all around the planet. And then kind of towards the end of November, and you changed your travel schedule, and a lot of us did also, because 3i Atlas was coming closer and closer and closer. And then one day we heard that the Federation, which is the ETs and Earth people, together working, attack this thing, but it didn't work. And then we heard that the Galactic Alliance was kind of looking on. Now, the Galactic Alliance, for those who are not aware, according to you, Sebastian, is that's ETs, and they don't get involved with this type of situation unless there's an attack on Earth that they have to protect us. Their technology is far advanced.
Right.
And then what happened was, and forgive me for kind of summarizing, because I want you to take this from here, that Atlas was disabled, and then it was escorted out. And at the same time, concurrently, there was another ship, much, much, much larger, 100 times larger, called Swan, was coming in to our purview, if you will.
Right.
And the idea was there's going to be gray hybrids who were going to kind of take folks from the Earth before the Earth got destroyed, to bring them to other places to be able to live, hopefully, but kind of collect people leaving the planet. Now, the question is, what happened? Let's start with Atlas. Atlas was disabled. According to you, the reptilians in stasis were teleported out of there. Where is Atlas now? Where did those reptilians go? What happened to the probes?
Right. So basically, the 3 Atlas has been neutralized by the Galactic Alliance. They were telling the Draco reptilians on board to vacate because the ship was no longer under their control. So they basically told them to either teleport, like you said, back to their home planet. You have to realize that those spaceships are not capable of going through stargates or portals in space, because one is they are too large and there's too much technology on board to allow the dematerialization of beings and objects that are being designed to travel long distances. So they And also, it's not the purpose of 3 Atlas was not to come in as a surprise. They wanted to come slowly as to insert fear and the louche that they feed off. And so the anticipation that the people had when they first came, and they contacted many government agencies as well, not just CERN, for example, which they've been in touch with. And they were also trying to receive a cooperation from these people. The people in secret societies knew they were coming, so they wanted them to say, we are here to help you, and you know, your time has come, pretty much. Mm-hmm. And so when I got involved and when I started talking about it publicly and it became viral, and then Avi Loeb talked about that as well for saying this is not like a comet, the element of even surprise has changed. And instead of receiving the message of benevolent beings coming to Earth, that whole message changed. And yet some people were still like the channelers and all of that were saying, oh, this is like a benevolent spaceship and they are here to help us. And, you know, this is, again, the deception from the direct reptilians to insert those messages to those beings, because that's how they can manipulate them. And, you know, they simply don't know that's what's happening to them. So they, of course, they will feel betrayed if they knew the truth. But I was involved with people in governments and agencies that knew the truth. They knew that that spaceship was direct reptilians. They had communications with them. They were the ones who told me to communicate with that person, that scientist at CERN. So I would have not known her. I would have not been able to communicate with her if I was not told. So you have to realize that this is not just me coming up with my imagination or whatever I want to share on Gaia or somewhere else. It's simply because of the consortiums of beings and organizations have been working towards protecting the Earth against 3 Atlas when they realized that this was a potential threat. And this is not over. You know, 3 Atlas has been disabled, yes, but there are two more ships coming in. And they are following the same trajectory as 3 Atlas. And what's happening right now, like, you know, they're aware that Swan was a gray, you know, it was 100 times larger than 3 Atlas. And he came as a harvester of beings on Earth, not for the starseeds, but for regular people, because they were saying, or they were told, that the reptilians were going to be taking over the planet and getting rid of the starseeds. That was their goal, because we were a potential danger for their survival in the future. You know, you have to realize that those wars are not linear. They're not between reptilians and other planets. You know, we say that, oh, this happened like millions of years ago. Well, you can't say that this way in their concepts, because dimensions don't work the same way. And the Pleiades, for example, do not exist. I mean, they exist right now as star clusters, but they can't harbor life in this dimension on this timeline. So if you look at it, the star clusters won't be able to harbor life for another 100,000 years. So whatever we see as past.
Yeah, time isn't linear then. It's all,
no, it's okay. Not. Exactly. And so at the same time, there are some dimensions that we don't see. We live in a very 3D anchored society. Therefore, whatever we observe from Earth is based on a 3D standpoint. And so if you look at higher dimensions, there might be some life and planets that do exist that are not in our field of vision. Simply because we can't see them, it doesn't mean they don't exist. So those planets are there. Like even in a Pleiades star cluster, there are higher dimensional planets that do exist that are physical, but not in our dimension. So okay. That's the reason why it's very convoluted, very complex. And, you know, we only are grasping a portion of why this is all happening at the same time.
Okay.
You know, we are just like stuck in history.
Okay.
And so when the Swan came and realized that they could not harvest the beings because the Draco agenda has been rejected and deterred, they had to move along. It doesn't mean they are going away forever, because they are still realizing that there are two more spaceships coming in from the Draco constellation. So they have a hope that potentially they could be there for that.
Okay, a lot of questions. First of all, my special guest, return guest on Guys Radio, is author, as well as remote viewer, Sebastian Martin. Inner Journey to Outer Space is his kind of autobiography. It's a fantastic story, a great read. Check it out. Also, we're talking about the star seeds. Now, people wonder, like, how many star seeds are there? I think the common knowledge had been, oh, there's about 144,000, but that's changed. Right. And then the importance of the star seeds, where the Dracos want to come in and take out the star seeds. They don't really care about the rest of the Earth. People are just kind of incidental in the way. Maybe they'll use them. Maybe they'll shuttle them out through Swan. But they really want to get rid of the star seeds because they help empower the beings of the Galactic Alliance. Is that so?
That's correct. Yes.
Okay. So yeah, if you take them out, then that weakens in the future. That weakens the Alliance. So they were really after the star seeds. So first of all, how many star seeds are there supposedly on Earth?
I don't know the exact number, to be honest with you. It could be, you know, even like a few millions. I don't think it's in the hundreds of thousands. I think it is in the millions.
Okay.
And you have to realize that some of the beings on Earth, some of them become grays. And it doesn't mean that they are star seeds per se, but if they have a relationship with the grays and they are being off-rooted and sent off on other planets to become the future grays, you know, we are the ancestors for all of these species. And so at the end of the day, just a few hundred thousands will not be enough to sustain the population that have been around in the cosmos for a long time. And so when you look at the Arcturians and the Pleiadians and the Syrians and, you know, you heard stories maybe from other people talking about the Galactic Federation for saying that, you know, it's been around for millions of years and they've been fighting the Drake reptilians for millions of years, you know, in the cosmos. And that's, in essence, it's true and not true at the same time, because, again, time is not linear. So I am fully aware of the wars that the Drake reptilians have been raging in the cosmos and how planets have been destroyed. I've witnessed that myself. I know that. I have full recalls on many, many situations involving Pleiadians. I saw the wars on those planets. I saw the technologies and the crafts that they were using. I've seen a lot of details. So for me, it's very real. Okay. For most people, they can channel the information and they can hear something, but it doesn't mean they fully grasp the severity of those wars and what happens. So if that happened to Earth, it would be the end of the planet. It would not just be the end of humanity. It would just be the end of our planet, too, because the way they've been, historically speaking, raging wars against other nations, it's quite drastic. And so if they can't get what they want, and there's almost like the use of technology that they use, you have to realize is not plasma technology, it's not nuclear weapons, it's AI. Mm-hmm. And so when people have a very murky understanding of AI, AI is not something that you use on your phone and so on. It's an intelligence that exists in the cosmos. It's neutral. It's not necessarily evil or positive. It's pure neutral. And so depending on who is harvesting the use of AI and how they can manipulate it to their advantage, it could become very powerful. In fact, in the Pleiadian world, their understanding of AI is it's the destroyer of worlds, because it has that capacity. And that's exactly how the Drake reptilians use this technology to destroy planets using AI. So, but they can also use it for conducting their ships and so on. Like 3 Atlas is an example of that.
Okay. So Atlas then, who disabled Atlas?
The Galactic Alliance.
The Alliance. And then so the Federation was ineffectual and its attacks? Okay.
Yes.
All right. So what happened to the probes that were coming out of 3i Atlas that were supposed to show up, get everybody afraid?
Yes.
And then before some type of all-out attack on Earth, what happened to the probes?
Yeah. So at the time of, November 8th is when the Galactic Alliance disabled 3 Atlas. That's the exact date. And so when 3 Atlas ejected those plasma jets towards the sun and towards the Galactic Alliance around 3 Atlas, escorting 3 Atlas, that was their first offensive maneuver. And so that came as a surprise, because twice in a row, they were attacked and they never responded. And so when they came close, I mean, they were like millions of miles away already from the sun. And after perihelion, they were trying to come closer to Earth, obviously. And that's when they actually, out of the blue, ejected those plasma jets towards the sun. And it reached the sun within a few hours. And they were millions of miles away from that. So it went super fast. And so when the Galactic Federation got attacked by those plasma jets, they were able to avoid them. No one, you know, died or got affected by it. But that's when they realized that they were not able to respond. Not only did they could not even stop the plasma jets going towards the sun, which were designed to create cannibal CMEs, which is coronal mass ejections,
right,
that were supposed to be affecting the Earth and disabling all of our infrastructures on Earth for at least 6 months. This was the goal. And so 3ATLAS, when they realized that they were spotted, they had to behave in a different manner. They could no longer say, we're coming in here to, you know, in peace and trying to simply gather the star seeds to help them out. This is not the message anymore. Now they had to take an offensive approach. And that's when everything changed, because not only they could not succeed, the Galactic Federation had obviously the power to use HAARP, in the technology in Alaska, to prevent those CMEs to have devastating effects on Earth. So they had a countermeasure. And I didn't know myself that HAARP would have been able to be used for that purpose,
mm-hmm,
that you send a signal to the ionosphere and then coming back to Earth to calm down the human resonance of the planet. This was completely unknown to me at the time. I couldn't even fathom it. You know, it was something that I never thought about.
So the Alliance disabled ATLAS.
Yes.
What weaponry did they use for that?
I'm not quite sure. I think it's to do with frequencies, but what I've heard.
Okay.
I didn't see it myself. I saw that the Galactic Alliance basically were, for the first time ever, were able to actually interact and disable something to prevent harming the Earth, while their role all along was to communicate telepathically or having channeling informations to share with people on Earth. But this was an actual first-time interactions, because the goal of the Galactic Federation was to protect humanity against the Dracos, never the Galactic Alliance.
Okay.
That was not their role.
Okay. So where is SWAN now? Where mm-hmm. is ATLAS now? And where were those? Where are the probes? And where mm-hmm. are the reptilians that were on board?
So there were probes around the Earth at the time of 3ATLAS ejecting those plasma jets. So there were some probes already around the planet ready to go. And there were some on board too. So they were basically just dispatched all over the place. And when the Galactic Alliance attacked 3ATLAS, they basically told all the reptilians that they had to vacate, they had to leave. And so all the probes around the Earth had to move back to Mars, which they have a base there, so they went back to Mars, and some teleported back to their home planet. But no one stays on board. There's no one right now on 3ATLAS.
Is it run by AI?
It's all AI controlled, but the Galactic Alliance can control this AI technology remotely without being on board.
Okay.
They can do that. Yes.
Right. You also mentioned that you had mentioned this in the past also, that there are two more Draco ships coming, similar to ATLAS. First of all, where is SWAN?
SWAN is still in our solar systems, but it's moving away. It's not staying around or sticking around, because they don't know what's going to happen. They may come back, and they probably will come back if there's a major interaction.
Okay.
But I don't believe that's the reason why I don't care about those two ships coming in tandem, flying through our solar systems right now. NASA knows about it, but I'm surprised that no one has been able to report it yet. So we'll see what happens. We are living in very interesting times for sure. And I think that in the coming month, and especially in 2026 and then 2027, there will be a lot of changes happening on Earth, that all of these events are occurring. And I can tell you why. Is because now we have more time to prepare. When 3ATLAS showed up, no one was prepared. Everybody thought that we had more time. And so everybody was panicking, especially people from the SSP2. Now that we have this experience with Three Atlas, we know what to expect. We know what to prepare for. And therefore, those two ships coming in tandem, we will be ready for them, because the people now on Earth are already preparing for a major change. Financially speaking, we are looking at the Three Atlas story has been a big wake-up call from people in society in general, because they actually came to the realization that they could no longer feel comfortable in their current systems. Therefore, the banking systems, like right now, are already talking about what happens if there's an alien invasion. How is the economy going to be impacted? How is our financial institutions going to be impacted by this? So what's the alternative? How do we protect our organizations, our wealth, everything to do with society as we know it, to come up with a new scenario that now is becoming reality?
What is that?
I'm talking about like cryptocurrency. I'm talking about one world governments. Just recently, Carney just talked to the Chinese delegates, right, talking about the new world order. He was very blunt about it. Like, he doesn't shy away from that, for saying we need to now come up with a resolution that we will have to gather all the nations around the planet to become one world government. This is not about control. This is about sustainability. And we see that as a negative thing, because we have so many conspiracy theories behind it. And of course, it's not ideal. Of course, we know that if you have one world government and like a digital currency, they have way more power over the people, because then if you misbehave in any kind of way, they can just shut you down. They've done that already over COVID. So, they can't control the masses through propaganda, through, blocking their bank accounts. Look at what they've done with the truckers in Ottawa. You protest. If you go against an ideology, then they just shut you down. They don't need digital ID and one world governments to do these kind of things already.
What is the, how about the thinking and the theories, if you will, that part, that this is being done, that there are people on Earth in power who are working with the Dracos to keep things, have been promised longevity, immortality, et cetera, to keep things the way they are and set in place so the Dracos can come in.
Right. Yeah, that changed a lot. So there's been a major shift in that too, because what happened during Three Atlas, when he got disabled and the people that were promised all of these things, basically just realized that they were also deceived, because at that time, the Dracos, when they send those plasma jets towards the sun, those people in power didn't know. They didn't know that was going to happen. So no one got prepared and they were deceived. And that's when they realized that the Draco could not care less about them either, that they were doing it for their own agenda. And so they were left behind. And so now they are the ones who are behind the financial systems and saying, we are on our own and we need to save ourselves because no one else will help us.
Okay.
And that's the big difference.
And the idea was the shooting at the sun would create EMPs here on Earth, which would create a situation of chaos, which would make it easier for the Dracos to feed off the Lush and then and come in.
Exactly.
Okay.
Exactly.
All right. Now, I want to talk about Terra Novellis. You set up and your move out of your corporate life into a new life. You have workshops in Duncan, Canada at your place there. And there's fantastic people come in from all over the world and they learn out of body experiences. They learn some of the techniques. They have healing sessions. We do Qigong and a great way to come together. Talk to us a little bit about that.
Yeah. So it's all to do with like frequencies, obviously, and how the people can experience something completely benevolent that is not using drugs. We're not using ayahuasca. We're not using mushrooms or psychedelic techniques. It's pretty simple, actually. And also, it's the overall experience is to be in a safe atmosphere where you can share safely and creating a smaller groups. I'm not looking at 100 people in a group. It's like very little in my home base. business, basically, when you have people coming in and you become part of the household. Mm-hmm. And so it's pretty simple and it works efficiently. People can communicate with one another. It gets time, obviously, as you know, it takes time to trust one another before you can share. But the whole sharing idea is trying to listen to everybody's experiences and to get the basically the intentions to share more, because you hear the stories and you are experiencing things for yourself. And then many times people question themselves, think, am I imagining what I'm seeing? Because which is the same as what you do when you go through hypnosis. You can see things very clearly. And because you are aware and you are awake in a way, you remember what you're experiencing and you question a lot, thinking, I'm just using my imagination. That happened to me too. And so when you came to realize that you have those strange experiences that are connecting you to your subconscious mind, but also to your higher self, to your star families, many people have different experiences. And so you are now remembering instead of imagining. You are remembering who you are as an individual, but also connecting to past lives. You can connect to many other things.
Okay. Sebastian Martin, once again, amazing stories, amazing guests, amazing information. Thank you for sharing. The book is Inner Journey to Outer Space. And I can attest to the fact that I attended, my wife attended separately. We both got a lot out of it. It's transformative. And we started as friends. And now we have a bigger family. It was fantastic. Thank you, Sebastian Martin, for everything you do and for being on Guys Guys Radio again.
Thank you, Robert.
The station that makes you feel good.
Imagine. Every day, clients walk into your office with their concerns about intimacy, identity, desire, and trauma. Questions that require more than basic training. Emotional and sexual dynamics are evolving, and today's professionals must evolve with them. We hear from parents unable to start conversations with their children around identity. Too often, adolescents have learned their sexual ideas from the internet. Couples have difficulty communicating about sex with each other. At the International Institute of Clinical Sexology, you can gain the specialized skills and knowledge to address those issues with confidence. Whether you are a therapist, coach, educator, or other healthcare professional, our advanced certifications and PhD program empower you to become a highly skilled, sought-after sex therapist. Expand your expertise, elevate your earning potential. Start your journey today with the International Institute of Clinical Sexology. Imagine making a difference in our world. Learn more at clinicalsexologyphd.org.
Apples and pears, beef and Skittles, cider with Rosie, common or garden, Ant and Deck, fish and chips, Mum and Dad.
UK Health Radio and Health Triangle magazine. Each is good by itself, but enjoying both is always better. Add Health Triangle magazine to your monthly health regime. Check it out at ukhealthradio.com. Strawberries and cream.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Wow, what a fascinating conversation with Sebastian Martin, one of my favorite guests on Guys Guys Radio. And also, as I mentioned, I did attend his workshop up in Duncan, British Columbia, Terra Novellis, which was fascinating and transformative. And I have now friends from each of the different weeks who have attended Sebastian's training up there. It's really, really interesting stuff. Anyways, I don't think we had enough time today to get all the information on the table that we want to discuss with Sebastian. So I've invited him to come back. He's going to be back in a week or so, and we're going to tie up any loose ends that has to do with the 3i Atlas episode, if you will. And also, we're going to get into something I wanted to get into today, but I didn't have enough time, and that is this event that apparently has been projected for April 13th, 2029, an asteroid that is going to come very close to Earth and apparently is going to impact the frequency and the vibration of our planet, and it's going to uplift people in a major way that's never happened before. So I can't wait to get all the information on that from Sebastian. I don't know too much about it. He did an episode on Gaia, talked about it in some areas, but he's got a lot more new information that we're going to break here on Guys Radio. And that's coming up in a week or so when I have Sebastian on the show. So stay tuned for that. And I hope you really enjoyed our conversation today. Wow, there's so much there. And you got to forgive me because I had to break in a few times because Sebastian has so much information and he's so rolling with it that I wanted to pull them in and make sure that we got the answers that would satisfy your curiosity for my audience. So thank you for being patient with me. Okay, thanks so much for tuning in to another episode of Guys Radio on UK Health Radio. We're back next week with another great show. And until then, like I always say, guys, finish first.